Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's truly moving by the Holy Spirit, always up to something good. God loves His people, and He's always working a plan, of salvation so that people can believe, so that people can be introduced to the truth of God, so that people can know Him for who He is. The Lord has been greatly misrepresented. He was in the Garden of Eden. He was misrepresented by the serpent, who Satan was using like a puppet. And then men were fallen. Well, when Adam fell, the language of man fell as well. So people misrepresented God. And then Enoch came, and he caused men to turn back to God. See, the flow of the world is always another route. It walks away from God slowly. The world is always slowly walking away from God, away from the knowledge of God. Away, you know, even in our movies, scriptural references has gotten more distant since the 40s. Because the world slowly walks away from God. It's at a pace that you won't notice it. And everything that Satan does and everything that he's involved with is always subtle. It's not obvious. His lies look good. And it looked like they'll work. And it seems like wisdom. Until you're trapped by it. Because sin is entrapment. And because people have walked away so slowly, even good people don't realize it. Even God's people don't always realize it. That they're drifting farther and farther. They used to go in God's presence. They used to do the things of God. They used to learn. They used to enjoy it. Something happened to their love, so something happened to their life. Something happened to the way that they do things. God stayed the same. He remained the same. He loves us just like we did when we first got saved. He loves us with great devotion. Even the hard-headed people. Now, we've been dealing with end times. We've been talking about the parable of the tares and the wheat in this chapter of end times. And the Lord wants us to understand how things really are. The shell game is over. He wants us to understand things for truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And everything that the Holy Spirit will bring to your attention is not always pleasant. It's not always what you would expect. And it's definitely not what tradition suggests. But the Holy Spirit, He's attracted to truth, and He teaches truth. And the Lord is solving a real problem. He loves His people. And people, there are tares among the wheat. There is a negative influence, not only in the world itself, but also among the saints, among His true believers. Even in churches, Satan goes to church. He goes to Bible school. He goes everywhere you go. Because he wants to start a disruption. He wants to start another slow walk away from God. Just as subtle as he can do it. He wants your life to be busy so that you'll get off track. If you want to know God, you're going to have to take time and study. You're going to have to do the things of God. Now, people are always, whether it's to the good or to the bad, people judge people by performance. And you can't do that and be accurate. Remember, the Lord always deals with the heart. The person that has a good and honest heart They are the ones that will bring forth fruit. The ones that are boisterous and they do the thing, they perform well, they're not always on God's side. Not always. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. A good heart loves God for who he is. A good heart hears his word and takes it in. A good heart wants the word of God, desires it, thrives on it. A good heart sees the word and wisdom of God as a treasure. And the wicked heart rejects God and goes out to selfish motives and put others last, put people down. They slander. And sometimes a person with a good heart, they're undeveloped in their ways. Now, when they got saved, they were so thankful that God forgave them. And they really want to know God. But they just came out of the world, and they may let words slip. They may say things off color. But their heart is still devoted to God. And they got to learn to get their tongue clean. Anything they were doing when they were captive by sin, when they get saved, don't think that they're just going to do everything perfect. People judge by performance, but God is always looking at the heart. The prodigal son, one, he wanted to live like the world. He found out it wasn't nothing to it. Came back broke. And he repented before his father, just wanted to be a servant in his house. The father put a robe on him, had a great feast with the fatted calf, and his brother got angry. Now his brother's heart was worse than his. He was the true prodigal son because he never left the father's house, but he didn't have the father's heart. God always looks at the heart. I'm saying these things after the last broadcast because if you judge, I have to show people that there is wickedness. There are tares. Tares are going to leave God's side. Even if they've gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, did the things of God, did great works, their love for the world will outweigh God, and they're going to go back to it. Demas did that. And Paul said they left us to show that they were never with us. Now John said that, but that they did. And John explained how tares operate. They leave our side because they never were sincere. They love the world more than they love God. And see, God can't ignore it. He has to do something about it. And so he decided decided this at the beginning. And this is the time where it's happening. He's given them over to their own determination. And they're not going to repent. They're going to do what the world does. They're going to leave. And sometimes there are tares in your life and they're going to leave. And you're going to have to seek the Lord about how to deal with it. If the husband's a tear and he leave, you're going to have to explain things to your children. If it's the wife and she leave, you're going to have to explain things to the family. It's just the way it is. Nothing's wrong. It's not your fault. They fell in love with the world and they're going to act on the world. And the Lord has given them over to their own determination. People sought themselves, not God. It's not God's fault. He sent preachers to them, just like he did Israel. When you read Jeremiah, one scripture in Jeremiah said he sent all the prophets trying to get them to repent, and they would not. They would not. God did his part. See, the time is short. He's got to return. And this is the most intense. These days are the most intense part of the battle. And people are going to show their true colors. They're gonna do what's in their heart, whether it's the love of God or the love of the world. And sometimes the people you thought didn't have a good heart, they actually always had a good heart. They just didn't do the obvious things. Let me explain something. The way people are raised is the way that they see God. It's shaped by their first authority figures. And I've watched this a long time. When both parents take their children to church, when that child gets grown, it's normal for them to go to church, and they marry somebody and their parents took them to church. They go to church. And they listen while they're there. Their parents didn't backbite against the preacher. They have a good rapport. They love with the preacher. They love him. They love God. They're just trying to do the right thing. And they go to church to learn. And they learn. And they take their children to church, and their children enjoy church. I've seen it so many times. But the parents that send their children to church and don't have go to church, even if they go to church and have a good heart, they don't feel like they have to be there. And their church attendance is about like their parents. That's what's in their heart, and they never dealt with it. Now, one problem is that all people have this problem. Most people don't endeavor. They take God for how they know him, and that's how they're satisfied there. They don't endeavor to learn him and what he's saying. Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because you're in a world that's negative. Now, God doesn't judge you by your performance. He's looking at the heart. So people who go every Sunday and every Wednesday and they're active in the church and they take time and study the word, they're doing good things that they're supposed to do. Now people will say, hey, that's good performance. Did you know tares do the same thing? Some people do things out of habit, but the day they fall in love with the world, they start turning. And some people, they're lazy with the word of God, but they still have a good heart. God still recognizes. But when the world light a fire on them, they have to get up and do something. They're not wise, but they're saved. When you come to the Lord, your education level don't change. The condition of your heart is renewed, but your thought processes, what you learned already, that's what you still know. It doesn't affect your education. It doesn't make you smarter than you already are. It doesn't make you wiser either. If you want to be wiser, you got to start listening to the word and doing it. The key thing, now when we first started this broadcast, this chapter of the wheat and the tares, we started with the parable of the sower, because there are four types of hearts. One was the wayside heart. The second was stony ground. The third was seed sown among thorns. And the fourth was the good ground. All four of these, the common denominator that will help all of them, is receiving the word of God. And some people have a wayside heart in the first place, because that's how their parents did things. But if they're in a position where they have to hear the word, they can get saved, and they can even love God. But they spit the word out every time they hear it, because their heart is too hard. They're wounded by the world. A girl that's been raped by her uncle or something, that hardened her heart. She thinks that all men are that way. She thinks God is that way, because she's been devastated. But if she goes to jail, and somebody's listening to the word, and she overhears the word, and she starts receiving the word, that stony heart goes soft, just like a sidewalk. A sidewalk is squares of cement, and there are cracks in it. Sometimes a weed seed will get down between the crack, and grass will start growing up, or a weed will start growing up through that crack. It doesn't even get much water, but it's enough to grow something. See, and people, the word is sown among those that have a stony, or, you know, when the seed falls on stony ground. The only problem it has, they don't let the word take root in their heart. And they don't take time and listen to it so it'll get rooted in them. So the word is a charge. And if you exhaust the charge, just like if you're cranking your car and it doesn't start, the battery starts out strong, but it gets weaker every time you crank it. Every time you live in this world, you're losing the charge that makes you strong, and you're not replenishing it. After a while, you're going to go dry. All right? When your heart is stony and the enemy throw rocks at you and interrupt your life and steal things from you and people talk about you and you exhaust the word, then you go back to the world. You start acting like them. But if that same person was in a position where they kept hearing the word would eventually get roots and their heart would soften and they'll start receiving it on their own. And then people that worry all the time. They receive the word, but they worry and exhaust the word by their worry because their hearts are stony. Sown among thorns. Worry, doubt, unbelief, aggravation, those are thorns. And they absorb the word right out of you. Worry is a reducer. But when you take the word in, you can kill those thorns. See, just because the way your heart started out didn't mean it has to end that way. And the Lord knows this. That's why he sent preachers to continue to work with people when they're going towards the tear. He know that they're tares, he tried to work with them so that they'll get saved. Because it's possible. But because the time is short and they've done it and they've been self-willed so long, the Lord's going to give them over to their own way. This is because he's been working with them for years and they wouldn't turn. They wouldn't turn. God can't make them turn because the kingdom of God is voluntary. The army of God is a volunteer army. It's a kingdom. And everybody that's there, they're there because they want to be there. They can leave if they want to. But nobody in their right mind, which is there in heaven, they are in their right mind, they're not going to jump out of heaven and I want to go to hell now. They don't do that. And anybody that starts learning of God is good. And you have to learn to hate the world. See, people want to get, preachers are teaching, you can love God and still play with the world. Once saved, always saved. Just try to do right. And if you slip up, no big deal. Just repent, say the magic prayer, and you'll be back in. It doesn't work that way. And it's not a magic prayer. It's a prayer of faith. And you can't fake faith. Because when trouble comes, faith, you can stand by your faith, but you fold by your doubt. It's not a magic prayer. You say the prayer in faith. Then, yeah, you say then. And in fact, the word says that you believe in your heart. That's the core of you. Well, Lord, I sinned yesterday, but hey, I'm back today and I don't want to do that. You're taking it lightly. People that teach that. If you say, well, Lord, I hate what I did. I don't want to do that no more. And you're serious. Yeah, the Lord will save you. He can work with a person that's truthful. Don't lie to God because it won't work. Some things you're just going to have to get right. And so do the tares. The people that, if they won't get it right, they're going to do what the world is doing and they're going to leave. But people judge by performance. And that performance is not accurate. It's not a sign that they truly love God. It's not this. If they go to church when the doors are open, that's great. I thank God for that. That's what I like to do. I can't always be there because if I'm at work or something, but I hate when I miss because I know God is talking to me over there. And I do my best to be there. I don't need to, if God is over there talking to me and I'm not there, I'm not hearing it. The Lord did his part, the preacher did his part. Or the preacher, you know, some are women, they do their part. They do, should do her part. So whoever's preaching and I'm not there, the Lord is talking to me, but I'm not there to hear it. It's not their fault. But God loves me wherever I am. His love is not based on my performance. But the Lord can't work with rebellion. He will do something about rebellion. And the Lord, he thinks of the best option and then he does it. If people decide they want to leave, they have a right to leave. They can leave. He doesn't want them to leave. He didn't make them leave. But he gave them over to their own determination. And sometimes you have to do that in your own relationships. If you had a fiance and she wants to leave and go with somebody else, you can't make her stay. You know, I wouldn't want a wife I had to make her stay at home. No, yeah, I'd rather for her to leave before it gets started. I want somebody that loves me, somebody I can trust. If I'm going to be married, I want to be married to somebody I trust. And I definitely trust my wife. She's a blessing to me. Well, that's what God wants. He wants his people to be truthful. And we should be truthful. We should be a blessing to each other. We should be thankful. It's reasonable. We should love him. Because he first loved us. We should continue to pattern and not betray him. But people do all kind of things. It's not God's will. It's not God's best. But he loves us. He loves the tares. Don't ever think that he hates them. He just couldn't get them to repent. So he let them go that way. And they're not going to repent now. Because it does take the Holy Spirit to repent. To help you see things correctly, to put the word of God, to organize the word of God in your heart. And now he's not going to do it. So it's important to know these things. Performance is great, but you can't judge people by their performance because God judges by the heart. Jesus, even, you know, it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11 that he doesn't judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness, he judges the poor. And we have no right to do nothing but the same thing. Don't be so surprised when people take sides. Sometimes the person that seemed like they would never get it right, that's the one with the good heart, and they will get it right. And sometimes people, you know, just like the parable of the virgins. Five had oil in their lamps and five didn't. Some people let their heart go dry. They don't keep the word of God thriving in their heart. They don't take time to study and get to know God. It's foolish, but God loves them anyway. But they're not. If you do foolish things, you're not going to be, you won't be fit for doing God's work. Not unless you love him and his people. You have to obey God. Obedience is very important. That's the key. Disobedience is the first cause of poverty. It causes the laws of sowing and reaping to work against you and not for you. When you're doing what you're supposed to do, the laws of sowing and reaping work with you, and they multiply you. If you go back and forth, your life will be back and forth and unstable as long as you live. Until you get it right. I'm not advocating don't have go to church, don't have study. But I am advocating getting to know God. Do the things of God because you love him. And protect your love for God. Don't live a raggedy life. And don't think a raggedy life is going to work out. It's not. God loves his people, and he wants to do great things in our lives. But he's limited by our will. Your will can change, and you can change your will. It's a blessing and an honor to serve the true and living God. There are many people wish they could know him. They wish they could know what you know. They wish they could have a relationship with the Lord. But nobody told them about Jesus yet. And I believe the Lord's going to get to those that really want to know him. No matter where they are, no matter what they've been taught, no matter how they've been deceived. Even if it says so in Revelation, God's going to send 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and they're going to go all over the globe where we didn't go, where our radios and our TVs didn't make it, and they're going to get those people saved that want to be saved. And I thank the Lord for it. Always remember, God loves you for you. It's not based on what you do, how you do it. He loves you for you. And he's very patient with people that do wrong. His mercy endures forever. But when people choose to leave, they can leave. It doesn't affect God's love towards them. He still loves them. If they will repent, then he'd receive them back. They just won't. Because they've chosen another route. Tares have always been in the church. And the love of God is based on him. He loves us for who we are. What we do for him, he desires dedication. But his love goes far beyond our ability to be dedicated. God's love runs very deep. And when people go to hell, it's because they rejected life. There are seeds of evil that will grow in them. And they will do so much damage over time. Think about it this way. The sperm of a man and the egg of a woman, they are microscopic. Within a month or so, they become noticeable, a baby. The world likes to say fetus, but that's a baby. I understand that a baby in the first stages is a fetus, but that's a life. They are just as alive as you are. They're just forming, their body's forming, but their spirit is formed. Abortion is murder. But beyond all that, that baby grows. In 9 months, is ready to breathe on its own. And then when they take their first breath, they've reached a stage in life. When the child takes their first step, they've reached another stage in their life. When they start talking, they reached another stage in their life.